Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Chulin, Daf Yod Dalet Amud Aleph, at the very top of the Amud, about to look at the fourth and final segment of Mishnah Aleph of the first parak of Masechet Chulin. Hashochet b'Shabbat of Yom Kippurim. So if somebody does Shechita either at Shabbat or Yom Kippur, the reason Yom Tov is not mentioned is because Shechita and Yom Tov is permitted in the proper circumstance. We'll see a little bit about that in the Gemara. Afapishu mitchayev b'nafsho, even though you are chayav mita for the malacha of shechita, shechitato k'shera, the shechita is still valid and the animal is still edible. Now, Amar Rav Huna, dar shechia barav mishmei derav. So Rav's son told us the following thing in his father's name. Asura ba'achila liyoma. Even though the Mishnah says that an animal that is slaughtered on Shabbat or Yom Kippur is, the shechita is valid, but you may not eat it that day, and that day obviously refers to Shabbat, because Yom Kippur in any case is prohibited. Then Asvin Chavraya Lememar, and the members of the Beit Midrash said, Rabbi Yehuda he, that Rav is basing that on a ruling of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara analyzes this statement and tries to figure out which statement of Rabbi Yehuda could be the source of this. So we'll come up with four different answers. The first three will be rejected. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda, which statement of Rabbi Yehuda? I'm Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda de Hachanahi. It's the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as recorded in the Mishnah in Beitzah. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to cut up squash to give an animal or a nevela and give it to the dogs. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo hayta nevela me'erev Shabbat asura, if it was not a nevela, I mean it was alive on Erev, should be Erev Yom Tov here, then it's asur lefi she'ena min hamuchan. Because it's mukhtza, basically, because it was not fit for that kind of ingestion. Now, so therefore, since it was not prepared and in its status yesterday, before Shabbat in our case, it's asurah. Good. Abaye challenges Rabbi Abba and says, the two are not comparable. That was an animal that originally was fit for people because it was a healthy animal that was going to be shechted. And now it's fit for dogs, which means it changed its status. But a behema that went through proper shechita was fit for people beforehand and fit for people now, which means it was already set for people. Now, his answer is, you think that when an animal is alive, it's already designated for eating? Behema b'chaya ha'ligadel omedet. It's actually fit for raising. Now, ihachi behemah Rabbi Yehuda b'yom tov eichi shachtinen. But if that's the case, then how could Rabbi Yehuda ever allow us to slaughter an animal on Yom Tov, which of course we know we can do, in the proper circumstances? Because according to you, on Erev Yom Tov, it was not muchan la'achila. So amar lo omedet la'achila ve'omedet l'gadel. So his, Rabbi Abba's answer is, that Rabbi Yehuda's position is that behemot are either going to be eaten or going to be raised. Well, that's certainly true. Now, nishchata uvra d'achila omedet. If you shechted on Yom Tov, that clarifies that its status, Erev Yom Tov, was getting ready to be eaten. Lo nishchata, but if on the other hand you don't slaughter it, then uvra d'gadel omedet, that it was being raised. Now, the problem is that invokes a concept known as breira. Which means retroactive designation. Rabbi Yehuda does not accept Breira as working. Now, Manalan, what's your source for that? It's a parenthetic statement within the parentheses. It's a very famous bright, if you buy wine from the Kutim. So you have to separate Demai. Omer, Shnei Lugin Shani Atid Lahafri Sharein Truma. You can say, I'm going to drink wine from this barrel, and eventually I'll get to two lugim near the bottom, and those will be truma. Asura maser rishon, tisha maser sheni, you can designate all the designations. Umechel v'shotem yad, and you can drink, and then whatever's left over, the last 21 that you have are going to go in that direction. Diva Rabmeir, that's all Rabmeir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. They prohibit. Now we assume that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda, along with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, prohibit, is because he doesn't accept Breira, which means I cannot clarify retroactively which wine was the Truma, I have to set it aside first. The answer is no, that's not what Rabbi Yehuda's reason is. Hatam Kediktani Tama, we have an explicit Breita that tells us why they disagreed. Amrullah the Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Yosef Shimon Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, Iyatam Odeshami Bakah Nodvim Tzashotek Tolim Lafreya, aren't you afraid that the barrel might break and all that stuff at the bottom pour out, and then you never will have separated Masrot and you can't fix it? Rabbi Meir says, if it happens, it happens. In the meantime, it's a good barrel, so we'll work it. Which means Rabbi Yehuda's opposition there is not a theoretical, conceptual opposition. It's a practical one. Elamidatani Ayo, there's a famous sugya in the middle of Masachet Eruvin about setting up an Eruv Tchumin for the next day, but you don't know in which direction you're going to need to go. If you heard that a Chacham is coming to teach Torah in the town to the east or the town to the west. Tatani Ayo, so Ayo has a version of this Mishnah which says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Matneh Shnei Dvarim Ke'achad. You cannot set up an Eruv in two opposite directions, which would mean, by the way, mutually contradictory, which means you'd have to clarify where your place was. And then on Shabbat Seo, I heard that the Chacham went to the town on the west, so the west Eruv is my Eruv, and the one on the east doesn't count. Which means that if the Chacham comes to the east, then he can set up the two foods on each side. But if the Chacham ends up coming to the town on the east, that's where his Eruv is. On the west, that's where his Eruv is. But he can't do both. And in that discussion, Eruvin, we said, why can't he do both? Because Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't retroactively designate. So Mizrach u'Ma'arav nami en breira. So how can you even do one? Because remember, even Mizrach is as against your home. That's in a case where the Chacham already arrived in the town, and the information is out there. You just didn't get it till late Friday night, early Shabbat morning. By the time you hear it, so you say, aha, but the designation has happened without your input. And so that's not an issue of breira. Alright, so we see that Rabbi Yehuda does not accept breira, and if that's the case, then Rabbi Yehuda must say that animals are really set for slaughter, which is why you can slaughter an animal on Yom Tov, and therefore the original proposal of Rabbi Abba will not work as being the source of Rav's ruling. So try number two. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda de Kelim here. It's Rabbi Yehuda's position in the Mishnah in Masachet Shabbat about Kelim. Kol HaKelim and Kelim Shabbat. Anything that you're allowed to move, any vessel or furniture, you're allowed to move on Shabbat, Shivrehen Nitalim. You can also take a broken shard of it. Meaning they have to be able to have some function. For instance, Shivrei Ariva, you have a basket, it's a broken piece of the basket, Lachasot Ben Pi Chavit. You could use it to cover up a barrel. Shivrei Zchuchit, Lachasot Ben Pi Apach. A broken piece of glass can cover up a vial. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vachi Osin Me'in Malachtan. He says the broken pieces must be able to continue to do their original function. For instance, Shivrei Ariva, broken piece of a basket, Latzuk Tochan Mikpah, they have to be big enough to pour a little soup in. Shivrei Zchuchit, Latzuk Tochan Shemen, or a shard of glass must be big enough to pour a little bit of oil in. Meaning, they have to be able to continue to do the function that they were set up for before Shabbat. Mein Malachtan in, Mein Malacha Acheret Lo. Al-Makevan Delo Itchan Me'at Mol. So we see, since they weren't set up to yesterday, Lahach Malacha for this, other malacha, like covering up a barrel, asiri, you can't use it. So the same thing with our animal that was alive on Erev Shabbat, Yishecht on Shabbat, you can't eat it again because it's muktzah. Asura. Now so far, by the way, the two approaches that we've had, Rabbi Abba and Rav Yosef, bring us into the area of muktzah, and that's the reason you can't eat it on Shabbat, because it was not prepared properly, it wasn't set for eating before Shabbat. Amarle Abaye, so Abaye, as he did with Rabbi Abba, protests, says, Midami, your case that you're invoking Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, is not the same as the one that we're dealing with. Hatami Karakli Vashta Sheverkli. I had a basket. Now all I got is a little shard of a basket. Vahave Le Nolad. That means I have a new thing, Vasur. It's because now I don't have a mini basket, I have a cover. That's something new. Hachamikar Uchla Basofochel. As opposed to here, I had an animal on Friday, I have an animal on Shabbat, it's food. Uchla de Efratu, and this is food that has been segmented, if you will. First it was a whole animal, now it's pieces. V'shamina le Rabbi Yehuda damar, uchla de Efrat shapir dami. And Rabbi Abaye adds to that and says, we know that Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that food that then is segmented is still considered to be like the original food. Ditnan, how do we know that? Ein sochtin taperot lotzi mehan mashkim. On Shabbat, you're not allowed to squeeze fruit to get juices out. But if they come out on their own, if they ooze out on their own, they're asur, it's a gzerah, because we're concerned you might squeeze them out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im lo'ochlin, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, if these were, let's say, table grapes that you were going to eat, I would say man mutar. because you weren't going to squeeze them anyways. So whatever comes out is mutar. But if these were juice grapes, then it's a man asur. All right, so what we see is that Rabbi Yehuda considers that juice that comes out of table grapes is considered to be like a piece of grape, uchla de'efrat, the segmented food. But not just a second. Lavit mar alam Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel. Shmuel holds modehaya Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim b'salizitim manavim. Shmuel holds that Rabbi Yehuda agreed with Chachamim if you had baskets of olives or of grapes that were set aside for crushing. So you see that since these are sitting there ready to be squeezed, you're thinking about squeezing, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if something comes out, you can't use it because you might squeeze it. So then we should have the same issue here that Rabbi Yehuda should say, since this animal is designated for shechita, I'm thinking about shechita, and now if I do shecht, we're not going to allow me to eat it because then I might shecht. So the problem is that midu yutam el rav. But remember, our entire discussion is about what Rav ruled. And ha'amar Rav chalukah Rabbi Yehuda afilu b'zal salei zeitim manavim. Rav disagreed with Shmuel and said that Rabbi Yehuda held his position that table grapes, or grapes that are just set aside, if something oozes out of them, they're still mutar. All right, so which means that Rav Yosef's position doesn't work either, because our case is not like Shivrei Kli. Shever Kli, you have something that's new. Food, on the other hand, is still food, as we see, at least Rav's take on Rabbi Yehuda's position about the grapes. Third attempt. Rav Shesh Breider Rav Idi, Rabbi Yehuda de Neiroti. It's Rabbi Yehuda's position about carrying a lamp on Shabbat. You can carry a new lamp, but not an old one. This is, of course, a lamp where nothing's lit currently. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda says that something that is that he holds from the principle of muktzeh, meaning something that has already been used as a lamp, is now not carryable on Shabbat. You can't move it around. But that's because that's a ceramic lamp, and it gets all icky because of the oil. That's called muktzeh machmat mius. The fact that something might be disgusting and only used for its job, which is kind of foul-smelling or dirty, and therefore you can't use it for anything else, that I understand. Since when do we know that Rabbi Yehuda, since when can we prove that Rabbi Yehuda will hold muktzeh machmat isur, meaning you can't move something around if its essential function is for an isur, which would then be the same thing as this animal, because its purpose is the shechita. The answer is in it, not Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda also has a position about metal neirot. You can carry a metal lamp, unless it was already lit on that Shabbat, which means you lit it Friday night, it went out late Friday night, but during the entire time of Bein HaShemashot it was lit, therefore Shabbat day you can't carry it. Which means that that's muktzeh machlat isur, because there's nothing gross about metal lamps. The answer is v'dilma shani hatam hudachel b'yadayim. That might be different, because in that case, you very clearly designated it away from Shabbat use by lighting it. Here, the animal, you didn't do something to it, it just sat there on Friday. So that's not the proof. And by the way, all three of those approaches had to do with muktzeh. Ella amar Rav Asher b'yehuda d'mvashelhi. This is Rabbi Yehuda's position, in the Pirei Machloket, it's a Tosefta at the end of the second paragraph of Shabbat, about Mevashel B'Shabbat. No, not Mevashel B'Shabbat, if somebody cooks on Shabbat. B'Shogeg Ye'achel, B'Mezid Lo Ye'achel. The Meir says very simply, if you did it B'Shogeg, it can be eaten by anybody right away. If it's done B'Mezid, it can't be eaten. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Shogeg Ye'achel L'Motzei Shabbat. If it was done unintentionally, meaning you thought it was Sunday and you cooked, you could eat from it Saturday night. B'Mezid Lo Ye'achel Amit. If you did it intentionally, that food can never be eaten. Riocha Samlar moves it one step further. Shogeg Yachel Motzei Shabbat Lachem V'Lolo. Saturday night, if it was Shogeg, others can eat it Saturday night. B'mezid Lachel Amit Lolo V'Lo Lachem. If it was done mezid, nobody can ever eat it. Not you nor anybody else, ever. Okay, so we're saying that it's Rabbi Yehuda's position, and now it's not because of Muktzah, now it has something to do with the fact that this is the product of a violation. V'nokma b'mezid Rav Meir. So why don't we just say that our Mishnah is talking about mezid, and it's like Rav Meir who says that if you cook on Shabbat b'mezid, you can't eat it. The answer is lo sakadaitach tiktani dumi doma kippurim, because our Mishnah mentioned Shabbat and Yom Kippur. Ma Yom Kippurim lo shnab b'shong lo shnab mezid. It doesn't matter why you killed the animal; you still can't eat it on Yom Kippur. In any case, can't eat anything. Lo achil fachinami lo shnab b'shong lo shnab mezid lo achil. So if Rav's claim is that when you shecht on Shabbat, even though the shechita is valid, you may not eat it that day. It's got to be parallel to Yom Kippur, which means we don't care if you did it shogeg u'mezid, it still can't be eaten that day. All right, but parenthetically, mimatzit mukban la b'shogeg v'Rabbi Yehuda. How could you possibly say that the case in our Mishnah is shogeg and it follows Rabbi Yehuda? The Mishnah says, even though you deserve the death penalty, it's the Shechita's valid. You don't deserve a death penalty for Shogeg. So, Hachi Kamar, what does the Mishnah really mean? Even though it's so severe that if you were to do it b'mezid, you'd be chayav mitah, hachar b'shogeg Shechita tok shira. Now you did it b'shogeg, the Shechita's valid. All right, so it cannot be Reb Meir. It has to be Rabbi Yehuda, but Rokma Rabbi Yochanan Samlar. Why don't we say that we're picking on Rabbi Yochanan Sanlar's position? He says it doesn't matter why you do it, you can't eat it that day. The answer is Rabbi Yochanan Sanlar, Kamaflik Motzei Shabbat Lachem Velolo. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan Sanlar says, but even on Saturday night when you can eat it, even Bim Shogeg, you only others can eat it, not you. Our Mishnah says Shechitato Kshera, which means it's a valid thing for everybody. Lo Shtalo, Lo Shtal Achirim. Whenever others can eat it, you can eat it. So Biyachan Sandar can't be a player here. Okay. Tani Tana Kamei Rav. A Tana taught in the presence of Rav the following lesson. Hamashal Shabbat B'Shogeg Yochel Mezid Yochel. Basically, Rav Meir. Mashikle Rav. Rav told him to be quiet. So why did Mashikle? Why did he quiet him? Either Mishum to Sfira like Rabbi Yehuda, if it's because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Just because Rav holds that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, he's silencing a Tana who taught Kerab Meir, even though the Tana didn't mention Divir Rabbi Meir, he mentioned there's a Stam. Since when do you silence dissent like that? And in reality, Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Chanan Barami, Kimori lahu Rav the Talmide, when Rav would instruct his own students privately, Mori lahu Rav Meir, he would teach them like Rav Meir, the more lenient position. Chidarish Papirka, when he would teach publicly, Darish Rav Yehuda, he would teach Rav Yehuda's position, Mishum HaMeharitz, because he didn't want HaMeharitz to take advantage of it. Which means in his heart and soul, he felt that Rav Meir is with the halacha. Chitayim HaTana, Pirkei Tana Kamei, maybe this Tana, who Rav silenced, was teaching publicly at the public lecture. So Atakul Amal Atana Tzaiti, but people don't listen to Atana. Atana is a guy who remembers the Breitot and spews them out. He's not a Chacham. It's a Lamora Tzaiti. They listen to the Amor. The Amor is the loudspeaker, the fellow that the Chacham would speak to, and he would broadcast the Chacham's psak. So why was Rav silencing him? It's very strange. Rami Yitzchak Tana Shoche Tana Kamei Rav. The answer is the Tana did not talk about Bishul. He talked about Shechita. He said, Ashochet B'Shabbat B'Shogeg Yochav Mezid Lo Yochav. That's what he taught. Amarli, what did Rav say to him in silencing him? Madatech, Rav Meir, you think that that's like Rav Meir? Rav Meir would not have said that. Ad kan lo kashar Rav Meir. Rav Meir only permitted bibim vashel. Why? Devar ra'ui lachus. After all, the food before it was cooked was edible raw. You could chew on it, gnaw on it. Therefore, when you cooked it, you didn't make it suddenly not inaccessible anymore. It was always a little bit accessible. But shochet, you couldn't eat this animal before it was shechted. Therefore, a mayor, from the perspective of Muktza, would say, would not apply what he said about Bishul to Shechita. And the Tana then made a leap from Bishul to Shechita, and that's what Rav silenced. But wait a second, our entire piece started out by saying our Mishnah, which is talking about Shechita, and Rav said you can't eat it that day, and we said that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, and then we went on the long search to find which statement of Rabbi Yehuda, Harav Meir Shari, sounding as if Rabbi Meir would allow, if you did Shechita on Shabbat, he would allow you to eat it, exactly like the Tana said. The answer is, Kishar Rabbi Meir, when does Rabbi Meir allow it? Kigon Shayel Cholem Mibod Yom. That's if he has somebody sick in the house before Shabbat, which means that he was doing the shechita sort of with permission. Then why would Rabbi Yehuda say you can't eat it that day? The answer is Gonsha Ela Cholev Ivri. And here's the difference: you had somebody who was sick Friday. Friday, all during Ben Hashvashot into Shabbat, he was sick, which means this animal was already designated for shechita. Late Friday night, his fever broke; he got better. According to Reb Meir, that's all that we need, is the fact that during Ben Hashvashot, this animal was set for Shechita. And therefore, if you did Shechita, it's mutar. It's not allowed to do the Shechita, but if you did it, it's mutar. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the kicker is the fact you did the Melacha without any heter, and therefore you can't eat from it. This goes back to the earlier statement. If you shecht for a chole, then only the chole can eat from it. Now this is supporting it, the Rav's original, according to Nachum Yitzchak, Rav's original challenge to the Tana, distinguishing between Bishul and Shechita. He says, look, if you shecht for a chole, only the chole can eat. But if you cook for a chole, anybody can eat. Why? My tama hai ra'ui lachus, because food could have been eaten and gnawed on when it was raw. I know lachus, but shchita, there is no such thing. But Rav Papa says sometimes you can flip it. Sometimes you can have a case where you shecht for a chole and other people can eat it. And that is when you had a chole in the house during the day, and then when you did shchita, this thing is not a problem of muktza. Mevashel asur, and sometimes you can have a case where bishul is actually asur for others. Let's say you cut something off on Shabbat and put it into the pot. That thing was certainly not ra'ui beforehand. You couldn't gnaw on it while it was on the vine. So what's the halacha? If you shecht for a chole, a healthy person could eat it like sucking on the bone, meaning raw. You can't cook it for him, but he could eat it raw. My tama. After all, you have to feed this chola. The doctor said this guy needs meat, so you have to shecht the animal. And it's not possible to give him even a kazait without shechting the whole animal. So when you shecht, you're shechting the whole animal, intending for the chola, which is mutar, therefore other people can eat from it. But if you cook for a chola, others can't eat it. It's a flip of what Rav said. Because now we're concerned that if you're cooking, you might throw in a few extra grains of rice or carrots because you want the healthy guys to be able to eat. And that, of course, would be an Isur Torah. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with Mishnah Bet, which you finally got into in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.